Based on my initial analysis of the data, I came to believe, and I still believe today, that it indicates that COVID-19 more likely was the result of an accidental lab leak than a result of a natural spillover event.
Former CDC Director Robert Redfield testifying yesterday before a House committee exploring the origins of COVID-19. That lab leak theory has gained traction in recent weeks after the Department of Energy said a lab leak was the most likely origin, but added a caveat of low confidence. The U.S. intelligence community is less certain and still divided about the origins. We're going to talk about all this now with Cheryl Gay Stolberg, Washington correspondent for The New York Times, where she focuses on health policy. Hello.
Hello.
Well, let me play another clip from this hearing yesterday. And this is one of the witnesses, Jamie Metzl, a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council and a former Clinton White House official.
There is no smoking gun proving a laboratory origin hypothesis, but the growing body of circumstantial evidence suggests a gun that is at very least warm to the touch.
Okay, so great line there. And talk about that. Is the gun now at least very warm to the touch?
I think the gun is warm to the touch, but I would also have to say that the gun is warm to the touch for the natural origins hypothesis, the idea that this was an animal spillover into humans. So I think what's changed in Washington, at least, is that mainstream folks are now entertaining the idea of a laboratory leak, which they had dismissed before as a conspiracy theory in many cases.
And is this because of the Department of Energy report?
I think it's a couple of things. I think the Department of Energy report does have something to do with it. It certainly has a lot to do with why it's in the news right now. The takeover of the House by Republicans also has a lot to do with why it's in the news right now, because Republicans vowed before they got elected that they were going to investigate this. And now they are investigating, which is why they had that hearing that Dr. Redfield testified at. But I also think that things have been changing a little bit over time. You know, when President Biden came into office, he ordered intelligence agencies to look into this idea of a lab leak. So I think you're already seeing maybe a more of an acceptance among Democrats, even at that early stage in January of 2021, that this was a possibility.
And you also have the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, saying that he believes it came from the lab.
That's true. The FBI has actually said this before the Department of Energy. The FBI says this with moderate confidence, but it's important to note that for other intelligence agencies have said they believe the natural origins idea, and the CIA, the big granddaddy of intelligence agencies, is undecided.
Okay, so what goes into the, let's take both arguments one by one. One aspect of the pro-lab leak theory is this idea that there is this part of the virus called the furin cleavage site, which sounds pretty weedy to get into, but essentially that this is a mechanism of the virus that helps it infect human cells more efficiently. And that some people who are saying that this came from the leak, they say this could not have been naturally occurring at the very same time as the lab saying they wanted to do research into this particular aspect of the virus.
Right. So that is kind of wonky, but the furin cleavage site is kind of a central component of the lab leak theory. This is a signature feature of SARS-CoV-2 that makes it easy for the virus to bind to human cells. And folks like Dr. Redfield, the former director of the CDC, have said that when they saw that feature, they found it very suspicious. They hadn't seen a coronavirus with that particular feature before. It made them wonder, gee, maybe was this virus engineered? Now, since that time, there has been further research that has shown that viruses that look pretty similar to SARS-CoV-2, do occur in nature. And so that supports the idea that, well, maybe this was an animal spillover after all, and we just didn't know back in February 2020 this kind of unusual feature, this furin cleavage site, would occur with a coronavirus. One point I do think it's important to make is that nobody at this point is really arguing that this was a bioweapon engineered by the Chinese. That theory was floated when President Trump was in office, and some on the far right adhere to it. But among those who are seriously considering a lab leak as the possible cause, the thought is that it's an accident, or it would have been an accident. And that is, in fact, what the Energy Department concluded, that it was a laboratory accident, not an intentional bioweapon.
Can you explain why they would issue that statement, but then say they have low confidence in it? What does that mean?
It's hard to know because they have not released the intelligence behind that statement. So the Energy Department said that new intelligence led it to conclude with low confidence that this was a lab leak. Low confidence means exactly what it sounds like. They're not certain, but, you know, this is kind of the way they're leaning. Now, we might get to see that intelligence. The Senate has voted to pass a bill, the COVID Origins Act, that would compel national security agencies to release their intelligence involving the Wuhan Institute. And the House is going to vote on that bill tomorrow, and it's bipartisan. People think it's going to pass, and we might have a better idea of why they drew that conclusion.
Will we ever know for sure, do you think? I know that all of this classified material may be declassified, as you mentioned, but doesn't it rely on China having open and accessible records as well, and that has proven difficult to obtain?
Yes, I would say that has proven impossible to obtain. And I think most people think that we probably never really will know for sure. There'll never be 100% evidence one way or the other. Avril Haines, the director of national intelligence, testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Wednesday, and she's before the House today. And she has said that China's destruction of evidence has certainly complicated their search, and China has not fully cooperated. She called it a key critical gap that would help us to understand exactly what happened.
So do you anticipate, you cover this, do you anticipate this being an open and divisive question, you know, forever, I guess, or at least for the near future?
I think it's going to be an open question for the near future, but I'm actually beginning to wonder whether it's going to continue to be a divisive question. I do think that the mood, in a way, has changed. I think part of that has to do with President Trump no longer being in office. You'll remember back in early 2020, he floated the idea that this was a lab leak. He was blaming China for the pandemic, but he's gone. And there does seem to be this kind of shift in tone that may allow for a nonpartisan examination, although I would put a big caveat there. And I think the caveat is actually Tony Fauci. Some Republicans have said repeatedly they are going to investigate, and they view him as someone who stood in the way of investigating whether or not this was a lab leak. He says that's absolutely not the case. And I thought it was interesting that Jamie Metzl, a witness who testified yesterday, said at the end of the hearing, he told lawmakers, if you make this about Tony Fauci, you are going to be serving the Chinese government a propaganda coup on a silver platter.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show today.
Thank you.
That's Cheryl Gay Stolberg. She covers health policy for The New York Times. Coming up, why Governor Gavin Newsom is taking on Walgreens. That's next on Press Play.